Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor and the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Android. Recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Make sure you like and subscribe. If you're on Apple, Apple Podcasts. Also check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. Communicate with us and other Heat fans on there all day long. Check out the host updates, the main thing chat, everything else that's there. The link is right here in the description. Also check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, includes Prize Picks, legal again in the state of Florida. Use the code 5 to get your initial deposit matched up to $100. They've got a new game there, up to 4 players. You can play from all the different sports. Again, we know no NBA, no NHL right now, but plenty of other stuff going on. PrizePicks.com. Use the code 5. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got a all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and the Five Reasons Sports. I got Brady Hawk. You can follow me at BradyHawk305, and I've got Eternal Bast. You can follow him at Eternal Bast. Makes it easy. He's our playback host. He was there last night. As the Miami Heat win the Summer League, they got a championship during the Jimmy Butler era. They win the Summer League. Larson with a big basket late in overtime. They come back in the last 4 minutes and win. Dan Bisaccio gets the win as a head coach. Seems like he's going places in the Heat organization. And look, it was a fun ride. I said beforehand, this is probably the best Summer League team they've had since the Hero Nun Duncan Robinson team. It turned out to be better. And the good thing about it is it's not just the high drafted rookies that came through. It was a lot of the guys that Adam Simon and his team have kind of plucked out of college as potential undrafted free agents. Now, we have gotten into who may stick and who may not. And of course, Heat fans are prone to worry about this sort of stuff. Like, nothing could ever be positive. Now it's, we're going to lose all these guys. We've discussed who they may keep and who they may lose. And we'll get to the two drafted guys a little bit later. But I'll go to you first on this, Brady. What you saw last night and the totality of Summer League, where are you with the two-way spots and who can they not afford to let go?
Yeah, I think, number one, Keyshawn Johnson, he's lucky. Like, his floor is a two-way because I think a lot of us just see his game and how it translates to Miami, and that it feels like a standard is in his future just with the style of play and the fact that I think he lines up with Spo perfectly, and he's kind of showed out that the jumper is in the mix. That was kind of the one swing ability. His defense is his rebounding, like all the connective pieces shows that he deserves to be on a two-way. So we get that one. I think that one's pretty unanimous. The next guy that I think should be unanimous is Isaiah Stevens. Right now, so just to make sure everybody's clear, it's Keyshawn Johnson and Zion Poland and it's Drew Smith. So when we're comparing a guy like Zion Poland to Isaiah Stevens, I thought Poland had a pretty decent summer league. Like I thought he did pretty decent things. But the stuff Isaiah Stevens is doing is not like normal summer league basketball. The passes he's making, the fact that he was shooting 70% from three on like two threes a game, not crazy volume, but still, like if you're shooting 70% from three in any capacity, that matters. He was shooting around like 60% from the field in totality. He has a real floater. He has a real feel for the game, but the passing is just next level. And then everybody sees like these guys are like, all right, well, Keyshawn Johnson this good and he was undrafted. What's his knock? Well, it was the shooting, and we're kind of seeing Miami trying to figure that out. Isaiah Stevens, it's the fact that he's undersized. It's the fact that in a switching defense, he's probably going to get picked on a decent bit just because teams are going to attack him and try to find mismatches. But you take a swing on that, especially where you're looking at roster needs and you're looking at the fact that this team does not have a backup point guard. You can make the case that they don't have a point guard, period. Like pure point in terms of like his style of passing and setting up an offense, that it just feels like he's the guy that they really can't afford to lose. And then you get to the last spot. So you get the backup point guard guy, you get the guy that fits your style with Keyshawn Johnson. And it feels like that third slot to me should be the high upside talent. It should be the guy that you take a swing on. It should be the Caleb Martin, where you pick up a guy that is a little higher end of experience. And that's, to me, you could make the case it's Josh Christopher or Alondez Williams, but I think at this stage, the higher upside guy, the previous first-round pick, it's Josh Christopher. And the stuff that he was doing specifically in that game that you just pointed out, this championship game, like he had a shot in the overtime where it was 115-115, I believe, and he takes a deep step-back three, like a leaning-back logo three, and just nets it. And it's like, if you have a guy that is that type of shot maker, that could be a tough shot maker, that could be kind of playing so many different spots on the floor. And I don't believe needs the ball in his hands as much maybe as an Alondez Williams. That's the guy you take a swing on. Like that's the guy that you could play in regular season games when you need a jolt of some kind. And he's pretty good defensively. Like he gets after it against backcourts. Like we were talking about it last night. He's around 6'4". And he could really do some things against the point guards and shooting guards when he's defending on the perimeter. So to me, I don't think there should be a lot of overthinking here. Like I know we're going to go through options and you talk about this guy. Isaiah Stevens, Keyshawn Johnson, Josh Christopher were the three best players in this range that are up for a two-way spot. So it feels like they should lock those guys down.
Eternal, do you differ here at all? Because I'm on the same page as Brady. I do think that third spot should be the high upside guy. You take a chance on it, you see where it works. I know we've talked about the fact that the Heat like guys who can fit roles. I feel like there's enough ability there that they could mold him into a role potentially. Stevens to me is a no-brainer. Like I don't understand how you could justify either Drew Smith or Zion Poland after what we just saw. I don't, especially because Drew's coming back from injury. And I don't know that you need two point guards in those spots. I really don't. Not if you're not trading Rozier. And you still, I guess you have Josh kind of tangentially in that role and all the rest. Can you make a case for anybody else? I mean, are you concerned about losing Alondez Williams, who did show some things here? Caleb Daniels is a player who was interesting during this tournament. Where are you with it?
I think if I start with the last person, not Caleb, but Alondez, I think last night was what you wanted to see. And I think, you know, for a lot of people that are confused when it comes to these summer league games, like there are certain moments that unfortunately you can't replicate, you know, in practice, right? Like how are guys going to respond to live game to game changes and things like that? Isaiah Stevens had been the most consistent player for them throughout the summer league stint, and that's including the California Classics. But Isaiah Stevens got into foul trouble very early on and, you know, wasn't able to give the type of impact that he was regularly giving throughout this stint. And so you had to lean on Alondis more as a play initiator, as a facilitator. And so I thought Alondis did a really good job when the offense wasn't really clicking like that. He was able to get buckets outside of that. But he was also able to kind of get guys in better scoring position. Now, that's not saying that he's the same level of table setter that Isaiah Stevens is, because on the charge that ended up happening at the end of the game, Brady, Ethan, like, he had an outlet pass, a quick kick out to, I believe, Pella Larson in the corner. You know, that's something that Isaiah Stevens probably would have done, somebody else would have done. But I do think Alondis had the kind of game, you know, that pretty much helps him out in his case for a two-way spot heading, you know, going into the second week of training camp. And yeah, I don't think anybody at this point is beating out Isaiah Stevens. Now, I don't expect any kind of two-way change to happen this week. But when it comes to Josh Christopher, and I've seen a lot of conversation, whether it be on Playback, make sure you guys join us on Playback in the Discord or on Twitter. When it comes to Josh Christopher, I think a lot of times people bypass his defense. I know Brady has done some threads on his defense. Shout out to Brady. Shout out to John Jablanka as well on the threads on Josh Christopher defense at 6'4", I think 213 or something like that. But he has shown some good defensive, possessions on occasion. You know, the offense people can point to and be like, oh, it's kind of up and down, whatever. But let's not, bypass his defense, which is a mainstay of what Miami wants, right? Like competing on defense, but not just competing on defense, actually having impact on defense. And I think you can look to Josh's defense and kind of point that out. But another thing, guys, that I feel like when it comes to people that really fit and understand Heat culture, he could have gone anywhere else, but he sought that out. He sought out the Heat. He wanted to be maximized in the best way. He also wanted part of the culture. He talked about it. And I get it. Some guys can be grandstanding and they can sell a good dream. But it sounds like in his interviews, he wants every part of that. And he says the right things and all of that. And so when I look at it, and it's like, it's not just he's your typical former first rounder, just looking for another shot. He can pop here and there. Like, there are other parts of his game. When you think about, his defense and also his personality that legitimately fit what the Heat are looking for in a young guy. And I think that can be overstated.
No, I'm with you. And I think that, again, as you watch his interviews, they've had the conversations with him. It's clear. Like, they've told him, this is going to be different. You're not going to be a primary scorer here. You can do some of these things in summer league, but when we get to camp and everything else, you're going to have to show that you can fit a role. The Heat view these guys as complementary to their core. That's the way they view it. Okay. And that's why, again, I was hesitant on saying that, okay, they were going to give it to Williams or they were going to give it to Christopher, because it does seem like they would be a little bit harder to kind of fit into that mold. But from what we've seen, and it's crazy as you're watching these guys, because I had a friend of mine texted me today. He goes, if you put Jaime Jaquez on that team, does it win at least 20 games in the NBA? Brady, what do you think? Right now.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know about that. I think that's kind of crazy. But they definitely had a lot of talent. I mean, there's no doubt about that. What you're hinting at, like the offense that I don't remember. I'll say this. I don't remember a summer league team that had this much shot creation. Mm-hmm. Like they went to these four guard lineups. And they had a bunch of guys that could just go get their own bucket, where even on that team with Nunn and Tyler and Duncan, they didn't have that type of shot creation.
Yeah, I know that's true. I mean, well, remember the team with Haywood Highsmith? They were trying to feature Haywood. It was one thing they were featuring Strus. They've had some bad summer league teams lately. Not the Strus team. They won some games late, and I think Yurtsevin was kind of a featured player on that one.
Even the Jovic one, where like they didn't have a point guard on that team, mm-hmm. and it was like they couldn't get the ball to anybody.
Right. Well, now they have a bunch of point guards. When we come back after the break, I want to talk about the two draft choices. Keyshawn Johnson, obviously, listen to the podcast that we did with him. He's going to be on this team a long time. I don't think there's any question about that. But we saw something over the course of Summer League, and it was building, where we talked a lot about Ware, but Larson was kind of feeling his way, and then it culminated at the end. Do want to introduce a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. Almost 100 five-star reviews on Google. We tell you all the time, if you got a leak in your home or place of business, you got to reach out to Water Cleanup of Florida before it gets worse. Michael Robert and his team will take good care of you. And again, if something does happen, they can take care of it after the fact and work with your insurance company. So check them out, Water Cleanup of Florida, WCUFL.com. Eternal, you got something for me? If you've got the schmutz,
they got the goods.
Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I don't know. Greg may be replaced here. He's going to be Wally Pipped. check it out, WCUFL.com. All right, let's talk about Ware first. Get to Larson at the end. He was a hot topic on Playback because, I mean, for obvious reasons, first-round pick. The upside is obvious. They took an upside swing with this player, which we've said they needed to do this time around. He potentially could address a couple of their issues, which size and athleticism, which were major issues last year. He showed, his skill level during the course of this tournament. He also showed some warts that they're going to have to work on during training camp. Pick and roll defense at times, offensively setting screens. He got a little bit better at that as time went on. And sometimes, even though he gets big rebound numbers, there are times he gets pushed around a little bit. He needs to put on some weight, clearly. And then also the conditioning, it looked like he wore down. And again, that's not surprising. They're playing a lot of games in a short period of time after not playing a lot of games for a while. That's going to happen. I'm going to go to you first on this, Eternal, because you have pretty strong views on him. Has anything changed your feeling about when he would get a regular role with the Heat?
Mm-mm. I was just having this conversation with Brady right before we started recording. I think the biggest thing with KL is that he impressed me more than even when I was, advocating for the Heat to draft him. is I wasn't really, you know, aware of how he absorbed information and how willing he was to work and things of that nature. Now, obviously, we haven't seen like a super dominant player from jump to end, right? Like, it hasn't been like that. But I do think one of the things that has been undersold is his ability to take in criticism and then just improve game to game, right? Like, it hasn't been perfect, but he had, you know, a very down game that first game against Golden State in the California Classic. And then you saw some improvements the next game and then game to game. Now, that doesn't mean that he didn't have some mental lapses or didn't have some bad defensive possessions or even offensive possessions, but just being able to kind of improve in some way game to game and take in what the coaches were saying to me was just like, hey, if he can do this in such a shorter period of time, what is it going to look like in between now and training camp when he actually has time to spend with the coaching staff, with the training staff, to work on his body, to work on his game, to drill in certain techniques, to drill in, hey, this is how you set a proper screen, This is how you use your left shoulder, your right shoulder on the block. You look for this in the defender, yada, yada, yada. This is how you, like, talking more on defense. Those things come with time. But I also think if he showed that in this in the short amount of time, when you go back to Miami, you do have UD, you do have Zoe, you do have Kevin Love, all of the people that's not out, you know, working on the game, working with the Olympic team, whatever country they play for, those guys are in Miami. And I think he has the right environment to grow before training camp. And I want to limit expectations. I'm not saying that he's going to turn into everything that they need. But the Beasley, the Hassan, you know, comparisons, I don't think fit him. Because you don't make those type of, like, he had a absolutely terrible game on Sunday and he bounced back on Monday. Like, those are the type of things that you look for in a guy to see if they fit your culture. And I think he deserves some credit for that. And so if I'm looking at it as if he can play right away, if he was able to do those things in that short period of time, then I think with having time between now and training camp and during training camp in those environments, going through the grinder, going through time to, you know, run through film and those things, I think the kid is going to be okay. They're going to put some weight on him. They're going to get him in shape, in heat shape. And once he is physically to the level of where he can move more fluidly, where he can bang a little bit more, use his size, because we saw even with raw talent, he had at least 3 or 4 2010 games. You know, so, it just made me more impressed.
Brady, when you watch him, obviously we were going to do a pod on just upside, right? Like, who has the brightest future, Jovic, Hakez, or where? So I don't want you to hit that right now, but you can see everything they saw. Right. And I can also see the things that are going to drive Spo nuts. And I think Eternal hit on that. And that is going to be the emphasis during camp. I think, yes, the Whiteside Beasley stuff is too far. And by the way, they were both productive players for the Heat. So, like, you know, I mean, Whiteside was productive enough to give him a max contract. And Beasley at times, you know, could get you 25, you know, even if he was sort of roaming around without a head on the defensive end. But I don't think it's like lack of basketball IQ or anything like that, which is something we've talked about with some of those guys in the past. I just think it's sort of understanding where he fits with this situation. I also thought the conditioning wore him down a little bit over the course of the tournament.
Yeah, I would agree. I would think so. It's hard to say because offensively, it feels like they're going to have to put him in a box somewhat in the next. And that's kind of what I was looking for in Summer League. It was like, okay, a lot of this stuff was fun where he was kind of like doing some of these like fadeaways, like off of bumps and everything. But like, I want to see him kind of boxed into what he's going to be playing with Miami. And a lot of that is going to be as simple as what they did with previous backup bigs that were limited. The Deadmans, the Zellers, as crazy as it sounds, dunker spot, screen, roll, repeat. Like, it's going to be pretty simple for him. They're going to want to simplify his offensive game to kind of maximize the fact that they haven't had a player like this in a long time. They haven't had a 7-footer that you could just lob the ball up to and go make a play above the rim, that you're going to want to use him in that way. And we've talked about with the Bam lineups, potentially, it feels like the way to maximize Bam at the quote unquote four is to use Ware as a screener most of the time and let Bam play off the ball in different spots, whether it's the wing, the corners, slashing, like all of that other stuff, which all points back to the fact that I think you're going to want to see him boxed in that way. And then defensively, it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be a learning experience because I feel like he's deterred a lot of shots at the rim, and that's kind of what you want because Miami hasn't had that where, like, other than Bam, obviously, and Bam's not a 7-footer that's out there just absolutely blocking shots off the backboard every 2 seconds, and that just shows how great Bam is defensively. But it's the fact that they could do different things where he's playing in that deep drop where he's able to kind of contain a little bit more. I think you were talking about his size. I think it's also about the mobility and kind of his hips and be able to contain in that pick and roll and just being able to go back and forth and figure out just containment, just constantly containing. And I don't know how much they're going to put him in different coverages. I wonder, like, they've done blitzing with Love and even Thomas Bryant, that I wonder if they would try some of that stuff out with Ware. But it just feels like a lot to put on his plate in his rookie year, that I think the biggest thing they're going to do, like they always do with these rookies, is before the season, they're going to go down and say, you're going to do this, this, and this. This is all we want from you. You're going to focus on these couple things and do them at your highest level and go from there. So I thought it was an impressive summer league. I thought he did a lot of things. That the shot, I thought it was a good thing that he went away from the three a little bit. Like, it was like, because I don't know how much of that he's going to get up, at least in his rookie season. Like, he has the ability to shoot. He has the ability to space the floor, and that's going to come over time. But, like, in his rookie season, he's not just going to be sitting out there popping every play and just shooting threes. What you want from that guy is to roll constantly so then he can make plays around the rim, so he can get second-chance points and offensive rebounds just because of his length and all of that stuff. So I thought there was a lot of good things to like. And then potentially I think the next step for him is he's not strong enough to play, like, strong post game against a lot of these NBA level bigs. So the question becomes, does he lean into the face up a little bit more? Because I like his push shot. Like, he has a really nice touch in that little short midi, where I wonder if he starts turning those post ups and a little face ups. And because I asked him before the season or before summer league, I was like, what do you feel like you haven't shown that people like may want to see? And he's like, I think I can put the ball on the floor a little bit more. So that leads into the face-up game a little bit more, and I think that would open things up a ton for him offensively. But I think all in all, I don't know how much of this we're going to see. I think the rolling, all of that lob stuff, that was the most important thing to me, because that is what his role is going to be. And then obviously the dunker spot stuff, he didn't have a lot of it just because they weren't running those type of actions. But at the NBA level, those lineups with Jimmy, he is going to be sitting in that dunker spot, and they're going to be looking for him.
All right, the other guy. And I think Heat fans, I think we're a little skeptical at first because the shot wasn't falling. And I was talking to people who in the organization, and they were just kept telling me the same thing. They've loved what Larson has done. Like, they are really excited about him. Like, almost as excited as they were about Hawkins last year. Although the difference that was described to me is that Jaime kind of knew how good he was. You know what I mean? Like, there's a certain swagger and arrogance to him, whereas Larson didn't necessarily have that. And then you see him go get the ball in the overtime and make that shot. And look, I was going to stop myself here, but people are making a comparison with him, and it's hard to ignore it. I don't know he's ever going to be this kind of player, but this guy was a second round pick. I mean, he moves like Goran. He does. Like, he moves like, I know people are going to say foreign, white, whatever. And that's not what I'm getting at. He moves like Goran. Like, there's that last shot. Like, I could see Goran making that shot. And there are types like scouts, and they're like, whoa, we don't have a guy like that right now. And again, I don't know with the shot creation if that's necessarily going to be his angle. Obviously, Goran is more of a point guard. This guy is more of a wing. But there's that like wiggle to his game a little bit. There's the awareness on the court, the high IQ. I've said he's going to play this year. Like, I don't think there's any question he's going to play this year. Brady, I'll let you start.
100%. Like, if there was the plus wasn't the fact that they, with this championship, that they got to the playoffs and got a summer league ring. The most important thing about the fact that they got to the summer league playoffs is the fact that Pella got these last two games, because these last two games were so huge for him. Because if the season ended for them where that was his summer league before these past two games, I think there would have been a lot of questions. There would have been, he's done so many things before this point, aside from scoring. Like, he's shown things defensively, like he could really get after it. He rebounds above his size. Offensively, he plays in these different spots on the floor. He's good at cutting. He's a really connective piece. He can screen. He does all these things. But the fact that the scoring is now kicking in, like, there was, you mentioned Goran. There was only one play that really reminded me of Goran, was in the semifinals game where he had like a help defender come over and he like wiggled past him like a euro into a reverse. And it was like, that was Goran. That was the one thing that I saw that was Goran. But you 100%, you saw his confidence take a jump, because you're seeing the stuff he's doing where he's taking a couple more threes, where he's kind of flowing into the shot, and his shot is clean. Like, it is a fluid jumper. So the fact that he's not getting more of them up, I think that's what we mostly wanted to see. But just offensively, like, when he gets in the lane, he makes really good decisions. Like, his pocket passes. Like, how many times does he get the ball to where out of nowhere? Like, he'll just find a way to get him the ball where he does have a little bit of a wiggle to his game. The mid-range, he has a nice little floater. He has really good touch. And he's a strong player. That's the main thing to me. And it's the difference between a lot of these other players. It's like, he uses his shoulder. Like, he wants contact. Like, he'll put a shoulder into you, and he has really good control. Like, there was one to start the game, and then obviously the last shot of the game, where he put a shoulder into you, and he has, like, this little hang shot, where he hangs in the air for, like, half a second to get the shot off, where he has really good control of his body. He's a good player, man. Like, he is a player that Spo also would play. My thing is, because everybody puts these type of players in the box of, like, a Duncan or a Strus and all this stuff. He's not that. I think he's better player to play with a Duncan. I think he's better to play with a shooter, because he's such a connected piece that can kind of play off of a shooter. That in some ways, and I don't want to make the exact comparison, but I think Spo would use him in similar spots that they use Caleb. Like, just like working off those corners and short wings, working off those baseline cuts, just reacting, like playing kind of like how they do with Caleb and Jaime, that they would do with Pella and Jaime. Like, it's a similar fashion. And he does have some athleticism to his game. Like, he can get up and play above the rim too. So I just thought these last two games were so important, because the fact that the scoring kicked in, like, to your point, when you compare him to Jaime, the confidence is the most important thing with him. So the fact that he got, like, a confident two games where he was able, and they showed videos of him on the bench where he's, like, using his voice and he's talking, like, that stuff's important. He's definitely has the skill, and he's somebody that Spo's going to play.
Eternal, you know, they really haven't had a second rounder pop since Josh, actually, right? And before that, it was probably Rio, 2008-2015. They clearly targeted him. They targeted him for a reason. Where do you think he fits this year? And then we'll close.
I think he is going to get some minutes, because we're gonna have somebody like just be out. Like, injuries are a part of sports. So, I mean, even if Miami had, like, a super healthy, you know, season, there's going to be somebody that's going to be out for some reason, even if that's just a game or two or whatever. But I think with Pella, that's so easy to just inject him into a rotation, whether it's just for a random game or for a week or whatever, is that his defense, Brady talked about it, like, he's strong as hell. But not only is he strong, he's very controlled, right? And you look at the defense that he played from the first game of the California Classic to last night, like, it got even better, and he already started off with good defense. He plays with his hips. He plays with his shoulders. He plays really, really under control with his feet. Like, his feet are agile. They're active. Now, of course, you know, like, I had that conversation with Jaime in Memphis, like, learning the tricks of the game. You could clearly tell that Scottie Pippen Jr. had learned the tricks of the game whether his father or from Marcus Smart or whoever, but he was just getting away with, like, crafty, like, vet stuff, which, you know, he had Pella and Isaiah Stevens a couple of times. But once he learns how to look out for those things, to keep your hand out of the honeypot and those things like that, he already has great east to west movement. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That switches from that to north to south. He is really, really good at that. And that was really puzzling to me when people were talking about his game, but it was like he was giving everything that you needed, whether that's defensive IQ. There were a couple of things, Brady, Ethan, that don't show up on a box score. But he deterred a couple of possessions just from his activity and just knowing what to look for and where to be on the floor. But there were also some things that he did on offense. Now, I will say he did have a couple of possessions where it wasn't as tight as crisp, you know, with his handles or whatever. But he was still doing things that impacted the game. And I think one of the things that people are, you know, kind of seeing now is that yesterday and today, while everybody has a different swagger, Jaime has a swagger that pretty much nobody on the team has like him. You know what I'm saying? But with Pella, and I said this before, like when they drafted him, he has a rugged fucking game, like just on both sides of the floor. And you could tell it was pissing him off, the calls last night. But one of the things I was paying attention to, you were talking about him talking on the bench. I was watching him call guys into a huddle on the floor and talk. And so if you're seeing those type of things, like, and you're seeing the passion that he plays with and the toughness that he plays with, that guy's going to get minutes this season, right? Like once they tweak, once like Brady talked about as far as like getting the shots up, I don't think he is of that Duncan and Max pedigree, but I do think he will be able to be used in multiple ways, whether you want to use him as a movement shooter or whether you want to use him in a Caleb kind of role, Iguodala type role or whatever. I just think you'll be able to use him in so many different ways. And to me, that is a plus for Miami having more two-way guys that can play on both sides of the court and that can give you multiple things. But to me, he had a really, really impressive summer league stint. And I think the last two games, especially Ethan, throwing it back to you, he wanted the fucking ball.
Yeah.
And he came out hot in both games, Brady. He came out hot in both games. He just was sidelined because of foul trouble last night. But to steal, here's the thing for everybody out there, and then I'll be done. He could have very well have been thrown off by being in foul trouble last night. And that guy was like, I am so pissed, I am still going to win this game. And he did everything that was needed on both sides of the floor. The one thing, Ethan, that stood out to me, to be like, he was one foul away from being out of the game. And you know what he did? He took a charge. He still put his body out there for a charge. And that to me is like, that's a fucking Heat play. So besides a game winner that he hit, to have the balls to go do that for the game winner, but to go put your body in a way where it's like, if I make the wrong mistake, I fouled out. But he still did it. And then to go get the game, like, hey, shout out to Pella.
There's a little Dragic in there. That's all I'll say. Thanks, Eternal. Thanks, Brady. Thanks to our sponsors, Water Cleanup of Florida, Prize Picks. Use the code 5.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.